Blog Talk Radio.
Again for listening. I hope you enjoyed my segment on domestic violence last month. I missed 2 weeks because I was in the process of rearranging some stuff at work, so I was working late and I couldn't get in time to get my shows on. So please forgive me. Tonight, this segment we're going to be talking about is going to be cheating. I know that's a touchy subject for some people, but I wanted to get some information out. I wanted to see how you feel about cheating. I mean, some people are very serious about it. So I want to hear your opinion. My call-in number is 347-677 1749. Again, my phone number to call in is 347-677-1749. Every now and then you might hear dog barking. I have a dog. I have two. One's an inside dog, one's an outside dog. I love them both. So every now and then when my inside dog hears something, she'll start barking. So you'll probably hear some barking in the background. That just goes to show you that this is live. It's not pre-recorded. She barks, and you can hear it back here in my room where I'm at. Okay? Now, tonight's question will start out, and it's going to be, how do you feel about cheating, is one part of the question. And are we so sure we know why people cheat, and is it really worth the drama to find out? Those are three segments to one question. Now, first I'm going to start out by telling you my opinion. Okay. My opinion is I think cheating is wrong. And it's an individual's choice how they want to handle it. Who are we to tell them how they should handle their problems? I didn't choose the subject to tell any of you how to handle your situation. It's almost as though I'm pushing my beliefs on you, so I don't want to do that. But if I caught my husband cheating, I don't know how I would react. I do know that it will be a big effect on my way, on how I would see him as a man and as a husband. But I don't think I would crumble into a weak little flower and let him know how bad it made me feel. I think I can hold my own if I found out that he was cheating. I think, because I haven't been in that position yet. I can't just say, oh, I'm going to go off on him, I'm going to kill him and her and all this. I'm not going to sit here and say that because I'll be telling a lie. Because then I have to walk in his shoes in a sense to see how would he react if he caught me cheating. You know, so it's two sides to each story, and it can happen. And we have to be prepared either way it goes. And sometimes I can say that, but sometimes you're never prepared to find some devastating news out as though it's finding out that your mate is cheating on you. But that's just my opinion. I want you to call and tell me how you feel about the question that's going to be asked tonight or was asked tonight, the three parts to that one question. Again, you can call me at 347-677-1749. Now, let's get started, see if I got some facts here. Okay. Tonight, in conjunction with all of that, all the questions that I asked you, I'm going to elaborate on the following. Why marriages fail, cheating symptoms of a bad marriage, this is from Psychology Today, 9 reasons why men cheat, life script healthy living for women, and are we wired to cheat on our men? This is from the Today Show, March 2008, the information that I'm going to talk about. Okay. Let's start with Psychology Today. You can find this information on www.psychologytoday.com. And it's called Why Marriages Fail, and it's by John R. Burry, Ph.D. Now, think of the last wedding you were at, the love, the joy, the celebration. I don't know about you, but I love weddings. They exude such a sense of well-being, and they are so often filled with a sense of hope. But what happens to so many marriages after the wedding day? If we look at the divorce rate holding steady around 50%, and then we also take a look at the intact marriages in which the couples are reportedly happy, somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 40%, it is not difficult to see that most marriages don't end up as joyful and hopeful as they were on the wedding day. I know that for many people, this sort of information is a source of discouragement and a reason to keep marriage at arm's length. I view it a little differently. Imagine if there is an exclusion, an adventure, a journey just waiting for you, one that has been found to be filled with all sorts of positive things. Did you know that married couples live longer and healthier lives? They experience more frequent and more satisfying sex. They are better off financially, and they have greater overall life satisfaction. My children have told me that over the years, as I have brought home flowers and a card for my wife, the most frequent thing I have written is about what a wonderful traveling companion she is on the journey of life. And also, imagine that as you start out on this journey, you are told that this may not be an easy trip, that there may be some pitfalls and some bumps in the roads along the way. Would you still set out on the adventure? I would, but I would also want to know what the pitfalls are. Knowledge is power. In fact, even if I had already embarked on this journey, I would want to know what those potential pitfalls were, are. What I want to do over the next few blogs is to look at why marriages struggle. You may be surprised to find out that there are a limited number of reasons why marriages fail. Admittedly, every marriage is unique because every marriage is made up of unique individuals. But in the end, there are only a handful of reasons why so many marriages come up short when it comes to matching the hope for the wedding day. Reason one, let's call it, people behaving badly. That's going to be reason one. It says there are certain bad behaviors that simply don't lend themselves to happy marriage. I know. I can hear it already. Who's to say what a bad behavior is? Isn't it interesting that the people who argue this point most strongly are often those who are most resistant to change? Something to think about. That was his first blog. That was from Dr. Burry. Psychology Today, and like he was trying to get us to understand, we have to look at marriage as a journey, and it's up to you to pick the right companion you want to travel with. And as you see, the divorce rate is holding steady at 50%. That is a lot. That's not a good number. So why do we get married? You know, we get married for many different reasons. Some people get married because they're lonely. Some people get married because of security. Some people get married because money. You know, we have a lot of different reasons why we get married. Excuse me, drinking a little water there. We have a lot of different reasons why we get married. But when we get married, how do we make it stay? How do we make it stay? How do we work hard to make it happen all the time, to keep that buzz in the marriage, to keep that spice going? There's all kinds of ways that we can keep it going. Okay? Another segment from Psychology Today, cheating. It says a symptom of a bad marriage. Again, this article is also by Dr. John Burry. Cheating on your spouse. In the last week's post, Marriage Fail Part 1, which we read, I had suggested that one of the primary reasons marriages struggle is people behaving badly, and I offered infidelity as one such example. The discussion followed that post was quite enjoyable and worth some responses. Is cheating a symptom of a bad marriage, or is it the cause of a bad marriage? Sounds like the chicken and the egg, right? Let me say from the outset that regardless of whether infidelity is an indication that a marriage is struggling or whether it is the cause of a struggling marriage, cheating on your spouse is just not a very good way to make your marriage work better. Even if you have agreed on a swingers marriage in an effort to keep the excitement alive, the odds of a successful, stable, and satisfying marriage are not leaning in your direction. Check out the success rate of couples who espouse Nina and George O'Neill's groundbreaking book, Open Marriage, back in the 70s. Every indication is that while a lot of scoring took place, the marriage won loss percentage was close to 0-0-0. As it turned out, infidelity is not a one-size-fits-all experience. Instead, instances of infidelity seem to fall into one of the four categories. And how we respond to the chicken-egg question depends upon which category of infidelity we are talking about. First, there are the philandering affairs. These are instances of repeated sexual encounters with a variety of individuals. For male philanderers, these sexual encounters are primarily motivated by sex and the relief it provides, and ego, proving one's manhood. Such men have yet to realize that what makes a man has more to do with what is between his ears than what is between his legs. Oh, I love that. For female philanderers, even though sex is the medium, power is the purpose. Female philanderers have been called spider women. Recall that female spiders do with their mates once they are done with them. If a female philanderer ever comes onto you, run the other direction. Don't walk, run. She is only after destruction. I suspect that we would all agree that philandering affairs say more about the individuals involved than they do about the marriage. Secondly, there is the category of mistress infidelities. These are affairs in which a married individual, more often a husband, maintains a long-term relationship with someone other than their spouse. While we like to think that such a thing could not happen in a satisfying marriage, evidence suggests that this is not the case. Think about it. Why would someone keep the marriage going if it wasn't providing some degree of satisfaction? I use an example in one of my classes of a man who says his wife of 17 years is perfect in every way except one. She has informed him that a woman over 40, where's the rest of that? All this was getting good. Oh. Do I have the rest of this? I'm sorry, I don't have the rest of this paragraph. Oh, okay. I can bring that back to you next week. Sorry, I thought I had the rest of that paragraph in there. Okay, already we've talked about why marriages fail. Cheating, the symptom of a bad marriage. We talked about the cheating of bad marriage. We talked about the philandering, the male and female philanderers. Now, we want to talk about the 9 reasons why men cheat. I apologize, that page got cut off, and it was getting very interesting to me. And I'm sorry that it didn't continue. I guess I'm going to have to bring that one back. Let's go on to the next. We're going to talk about the 9 reasons why men cheat. And this is written by LifeScript Healthy Living for Women. And these are websites, articles I found on different websites. This is written by the editorial staff of the LifeScript website. All right, it says, why do men cheat? South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford is the latest politician to admit he had an extramarital affair, and Nevada Senator John Inzi before that. Yet cheating isn't limited to the famous and the powerful. So seriously, what's the deal? We examine 9 reasons men say they stray. Plus, take our quiz and find out if your guy will cheat, which I'm not. Let's see if I have a copy of this test. Now, let me make sure. No, I don't have it. So, I don't have it, and I'm not really interested in worrying about whether or not he cheats or not. That's not important. That's just me. Governor Sanford seems to have it all. Power, success, money, a loving family. Yet with everything to lose, he cheated on his wife, Jenny. Could she have spotted the warning signs? Why do men cheat? And could it happen to you? Approximately 40% of men seek sexual satisfaction outside of their relationships. Estimates, Kat Hertland, PhD, professor of human development at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and a marriage and family therapist. The number hasn't changed much since 1950, when the famous Kinsey sex study found that 50% of U.S. men cheat at some point in their marriages. Why they cheat? Number one reason, men crave sexual variety. According to David Buss, professor of psychology at the University of Texas and the author of Evolution of Desire, Strategies of Human Mating, they've evolved the desire to be with different women, he says. That's because it's very simple for men to reproduce. One act of sex versus 9 months of pregnancy for women. So to crave as many offspring as possible, they're biologically programmed to mate with many women. The payoff in reproductive currency, kids, of a short-term mating strategy generally has been higher for men than women, Buss says. So after thousands of generations, this has forged in the male brain a desire for sexual variety. Other top reasons men cheat. They're unhappy with their mates and extramarital sex is cheaper and easier to get these days, Buss says. Empower wives, beware. Being married to a high-profile guy ups the odds he'll wander. Women are attracted to men who have power and status, so public figures usually have plenty of opportunity, Buss says. Whether your guy is a political animal, an A-list celeb, or just a cubicle mate, his motivation to cheat is the same, according to one relationship expert. 99% of the time, there's a simple reason why. Boredom, says Steve St. Gatti, author of The Manual. A True Bad Boy explains how men think, date, and mate, and what women can do to come out on top. Now, you notice that most of these doctors with their theories are male doctors. Okay, keep that in mind. Still trying to see where the woman falls into this. Whatever the reasons, cheaters give monogamous men, the majority, a bad name. The Sanford case is a classic example of what I've called the evolution of moral hypocrisy, Buss says. He publicly chastises others for cheating, such as Bill Clinton, but then did it himself. Why they say they cheat. Here are 9 excuses guys give for doing the extramarital mambo. Number 1, she ain't what she used to be. Like Adam, the typical man can't resist the temptation of a riper fruit, especially if the woman is in his life, if the woman in his life has let herself go. If she got lazy physically or gained weight or just doesn't take care of herself, a guy will start looking at other women, Santagati says. Women who want to keep their men on a short leash need to take good, hard look in the mirror, he adds. Oh, he sounds like a sexist. And men should do the same. He might be a complete slob and still be demanding perfection from her. It's the typical double standard. For their part, guys should also make an effort to rediscover the spark at home. Make her feel pretty, even if you're lying, he advises. Tell her how beautiful she is and how much you appreciate her. It will make her feel sexy, and she'll want to make you happy. The attention can lead to more satisfying sex life, agrees Susan Johnson, a professor of clinical psychology at the University of Ottawa and author of Hold Me Tight, 7 Conversations for a Lifetime of Love. All the evidence shows that when women feel safe and connected, you're better at taking care of your partner. Number 2, no one loves a ball buster. Perhaps nothing will drive a married man into the arms of another woman faster than a nagging wife. She's like a mosquito, Sakati says. He doesn't want to have sex with her. He wants to swat her away. The more viable option, hot sex with a more understanding woman. Hogwash, says Steve Solomon, PhD, author of Intimacy After Fidelity, How to Rebuild an Affair, Proof Your Marriage, a How to Build an Affair Proof Your Marriage. A woman didn't do something that excuses cheating. Whatever the relationship dynamic, it's not that healthy to begin with if it leads to infidelity, Solomon says. I'm going to drink some more water. Look. Okay. Number 3. He doesn't get me. Men who cheat say they don't feel understood by their mate. But it's not always the woman. Mostly, they're either angry or afraid to connect. It's easier for men to go outside the relationship and work it out with their partner, says UNLV's Hurtman. We see this triangulation a lot. Number 4, A deep-seated fear of intimacy can be hard for some guys to overcome, and they're more likely to cheat again, especially if they don't go to couples therapy. Number four, it's the thrill of it all. Most guys who have affairs are getting in touch with their inner caveman. They like to play with the fire. It adds to a level of danger, and danger adds to the excitement. By keeping surprise and sizzle in your sex life, a woman can keep the home fires burning so hot that her man won't have any reason to cheat. But that's not the whole story. Men also cheat because of fear, loneliness, or anger. The betraying partner's failure to deal with these feelings is what causes them to be unfaithful. Keep that in mind. Very good point. It's best to talk out any problems that you're having in your marriage. Communication is the key. Men don't like to listen, but women like to talk. Men who hear a lot of nagging don't want to hear what the woman really has to say. Lots of the time, a woman is not nagging. Then sometimes they are, and you know the difference. Even women know the difference in another woman nagging opposed to being nice and you know, talking the way you need to your husband. Sometimes I know I feel like I nag my husband, and I know when to step back. Not that I'm afraid of him, but I need to give him his space as well as I'm asking or requesting my space from him. I was watching Kate, John and Kate plus eight, and I noticed how she would just nag him, and she was so negative when she talked to him. To be honest with you, this is just what I was going on in my mind if I was him. I would have to leave her too because she was so negative. She was too bossy and demanding to him. And I guess he got tired of that, you know. And I kind of figured that was coming. I just didn't know when. That's just my personal opinion about that. And like I said, my opinion don't mean squat because you might not see it the same way I see it. Okay? Number five, blame it on the hunter. Often married men who cheat can't quite explain their motivation. They just find themselves compelled to bust out of their day-to-day routine in search of something new. It's a primitive instinct that dates back to their role as hunters and gatherers. Only this time they're hunting and gathering new women. Maybe he got married too young, or he just feels as if he hasn't seen everything. Women can protect themselves by getting wise to this behavior early in the relationship and getting out. Sadagati suggests you can find out more about a man's dating history by watching how he acts in a room full of gorgeous women. If you can't rein him in when your romance is new, you'll never control him down the road when your life together is more settled. The first 3 months are critical, he says. Number six, biology baby. It's our biological nature to be with as many females as possible. That's funny. Once we've seen a woman naked several times, it becomes commonplace. It doesn't matter if you're Jessica Alba or Sienna Miller. We become accustomed to your body and what to experience and want to experience something different. Different lips, different body types. We're only monogamous because we realize that love and friendship are more important than getting laid. But Juliet Williams, associate professor of women's study at UCLA, disagrees. No matter how stunning, high the number of male cheaters, we know it's not biological, she says. There are still a higher percentage of men who are monogamous. Whether it's evolution, biology, or simple novelty, infidelity researchers agree that men do seek several different sex partners. However, the decision whether to cheat is entirely in a man's control. Most men don't act on those desires because they don't want to jeopardize social reputations or marriages, says University of Texas Bus. Okay. Former President Jimmy Carter, for example, told an interviewer that he had lust in his heart, but as far as we knew, he never acted on it, he said. Number 7, it's just sex. For most guys, sex and love are two entirely different things. We really believe I can still love my wife and want to have sex with other women. We separate it in our brains, they say. That rationale allows guys to cheat guilt-free, with one notable exception. Any guilt that a man has after sex isn't about the sex itself. It's about the consequences. Will she be a stalker? Will my wife find out? Two questions you got to keep in mind. If a guy is in a committed monogamous relationship, he should ask himself one question before he cheats. Is it worth it? How should I consider the worst case scenario, meaning that his wife finds out and now is brokenhearted? Is it really worth it? Something to think about. And number 8, not tonight, dear. Let's face it, men want more sex than women. This is so much bunch of crock, you guys. I'm sorry. I should have read it a little bit closer before I brung this to you because a lot of this, and it says myth, and it says reason why men say they cheat, so it's really not true. So when their partner is tired from wrangling kids all day and unwilling to try new things, even the most loyal hubbies get bored and go looking for nookie. More sexually permissive men who don't have equally adventurous partners are also more apt to wander, says UNLV's Hurtman. Their sexual values are just not compatible. Okay. That's not true, and I know it's not true. I'm a woman. I know that's not true. And let me say this, not for all women, okay? So what do you call it when women are at their sexual peak, which is in their 40s, I think it's all the way up into 50s, late 30s, all the way up into your 50s, or 40s, I think it is, when women hit their sexual peak? How many times do we say, not tonight, dear, I have a headache? My sister's husband had this saying. She used to say, when she used to tell him that, he said, what's your ass got to do with your head? And I mean, you can't, you know, this is an adult show because I can say this. You got to look at it. That's true. I mean, take some aspirin and go at it. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Everybody don't use that same line. It's an old line. So I guess, you know, he says, okay, I'm not trying to fuck your, excuse my language. I'm not trying to do your head. I'm trying to do you. There's a difference. Excuse my language. I get kind of carried away with some things that I say, which is not really professional. Okay. But people who know I curse. I'm not pretending like I'm an angel or anything. I do curse. Last but not least, the 9th reason why men say they cheat. Simply because we can. Excuse me. Okay. We guys, remember, it's hard to resist temptation, especially when it's at our fingertips. Thanks to the internet, it's easier for men to cheat anytime, anywhere, while they're watching TV, on the laptop, in bed next to their sleeping wives. We're not talking about penis and vaginas. Cheating is defined as anything that breaches a relationship contract. That includes sexy communication and flirting that's kept secret from your partner. Forgive and forget. Whether your man is having sex online or in a hotel room, should you take him back? We think of people who portray us as cads, bad people, immature. But most are normal folks who get lost in not taking care of themselves and their marriages. The utterly bubbling confessional by Governor Sanford is a reminder that these are humans, regardless of their stature, as UCLA's Williams. And if you forgive and forget, could he cheat again? Despite guys' excuse, the decision to cheat or stay faithful isn't something women can control. So true. Even if you're the worst spouse on earth, your partner can find better ways to deal with his unhappiness. You can't make someone cheat any more than you can make someone drink or abuse you. Will he cheat? Rate the risk. It's thought that about 60% of men cheat on their partners, and 70% of wives don't have a clue. Is your guy ever true or a sneaky cheat? I want you to take a cheating quiz to find out. Check out Health Bristol, where LifeScript's editors let it all hang out. Share it with your friends. It's a free sign-up bookmark. Bookmark it so you don't miss a single juicy post. And this comes from LifeScript, www.lifescript.com, LFESCRIPT.com. That's what this article was about. So you hear these lame excuses why men cheat. All nine of them, to me, were lame. Now, one of them I do believe, and I do agree. I don't think it's the reason why they cheat, but what women should do. Number one was she ain't what she used to be. I always try to keep myself up. And it's not because I'm trying to keep myself up for my husband. I keep myself up for myself. Because before I got married, I maintained myself. And after I got married, I maintained myself. I don't believe in a woman not taking care of herself. And I look at it every day where I work at. Not only in coworkers, but I look at it in the wives and the husbands that come up there. I look at how some of the wives come in there looking like glamour dolls. I mean, they're walking in there, they look like straight divas. I love to see that. And they're with their husbands. And then I see this other set of couples where he's sloppy and she's sloppy. I tell any woman out there, do not let your partner allow you to let yourself go. Always look nice. Always take care of yourself, no matter what the situation is. Before you walk out the door, no matter where you're going, look at yourself in the mirror. You don't go to the store and slippers and a muumuu dress and hair rolls in your hair. I don't care if it's a quick jump in the car, jump in, jump out. Still go out looking presentable. Women who walk around with those pajama pants on, don't you know, I sew. So I know the difference in pajama pants and the pants with the drawstring pants. There is a difference in the way they're made. You can see in the way they're made. If you sew, anybody out there who's listening that sew, you know the pants are formed and they're made different from the sleeping pants. So we know majority of the time when you walk out your house, you have your pajamas on. That is so tacky. I even look at the young girls who's doing it. That is so tacky. And then you get mad when a man don't want you. Well, look at how you present yourself. Take care of yourself. I don't care how long you've been married. Take care of you. It's nothing wrong when other men desire you. Nothing wrong with that. Doesn't mean that they're going to get you. They desire you. So you handle up on your own business. You be your own diva. You don't have to be a mean, hateful diva. You can be a diva when it comes to the way you carry yourself. Fix your hair. Fix your makeup. If you don't wear makeup, put on earrings. Do some enhancements. If you're a big lady, still and all don't mean because you're big that you're supposed to look sloppy. Don't wear heavy, tight stuff. That's too tight for you. Don't wear that kind of stuff. Don't wear stuff out if you have big breasts and they're not supported. And they hang. That looks so tacky. Look at your feet. If you got all kinds of hard, crackling heels, soak your feet. Easy. Soak your feet in a tub. Scrape your toe. Everybody can't go get a pedicure and a manicure every day and every week. Some people can't afford that. Take care of your own feet. There's home remedies for taking care of your feet. There's home remedies for your hands. When your man see you, let him take a second look. This can't be my wife. Yeah, it's your wife. And women, can I say this? Can I say this? Be adventurous in your bedroom. Not to say it's going to stop them from cheating, but I tell you what, it'll make you feel better. And I'll tell you why it'll make you feel better. Because if he cheats, it's his problem. It's not your problem. Because you already know you've given him all you've got. You will go that extra mile to make him satisfied. So it's not you. Because we always have a sense of feeling so bad, and so our self-esteem just hits rock bottom when a man cheats. It's not our fault. It's their fault. They have to deal with that. That's their guilt. That's their consequences, not yours. But in the meantime, take care of yourself. Make yourself look presentable. It's one thing about my husband I can truly say. He always compliments me on the way I look. He'll tell me if I don't look good, which he never does. He'll say, you know, like, okay, I can't say he never does. Maybe it's his way of doing it without making it feel like he's hurting my feelings, which he knows I don't have a heart of stone, but I'm a type of woman, tell me how you feel. Don't bullcrap me. Tell me how you feel. And he knows that. But I try to leave my house in the morning because he don't always see me when I leave because he leaves earlier than I do. But when I come home, he's home earlier than I do. So when I come through that door, he knows what I wore that day. And he always compliments me on my clothes and how I carry myself. He always does. So I make sure, and I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it for Salida. I'm doing it for Chocolate Lady 64. I'm taking care of me, how I like to look. It's not about how he wants me to look. He doesn't control that. It's how I like to look. Even when I'm relaxing, when I got a pair of jeans on and a t-shirt, I make sure I'm looking nice. I make sure that I try to wear makeup to enhance me. Make sure my hair is looking nice, you know. It don't have to look glamorous like I'm going to a party, but I make sure my hair looks nice. I try to keep myself up. I try to look nice no matter what I do and where we go. I try to be presentable for myself. Now, he can bask in my glow too, but it's all about me at that time. So it is important for you to take care of yourself and don't think it's only for your man. It's for you. And don't look for your man to make you happy all the time. It's not his job to make you happy. It's your job to make you happy. You have to find happiness within yourself. We women can be so needy at times. And that's what wears our men down, and that's what makes some of the reasons why they do go out, because they don't have to hear that. And I think it's in there, the nagging. But I'm talking about the neediness in women. Need yourself first. Love yourself first and need yourself first before you want to need something else or someone else. We don't think about that when we get married. We just want to get married and be secure and want to be with somebody. Sometimes you got to be careful. Sometimes you have to take your time with the marriage thing. Okay? We women go through a point in our life where we feel like we're running out of time. You never run out of time. There's no such thing as running out of time. And you have to understand that. Okay, now, I'm going to get off that soapbox right there. Let's talk about, are we wired to cheat on our mates? Now, this was the Today Show article, and the guy name is Mike Zelizik, who's the one who helped write this article. It says right here, for one species of flatworm that lives in the gills of freshwater fish, monogamy is the rule. But for humans and every other living creature, biologists believe nature prefers that men and beasts have multiple sexual partners. Okay? With that in mind, some biologists say we shouldn't be too surprised when public figures like former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer and others get caught cheating on their mates. We may just be wired that way. Okay? Nature wants one thing, and what it wants are babies, Jeffrey Kluger, Time Magazine scientist editor, told Today's Meredith Vieira on Wednesday. It also wants lots of them, and it wants variety. Because the greater the genetic variety, the greater the likelihood that the babies are going to survive to adulthood and do well. So, even when we've had children, we have some very primal software that keeps telling us, look around. Once upon a time, biologists thought that there were a number of animals. Sorry about that interruption. Once upon a time, biologists thought that there were a number of animals, eagles, geese, and beavers among them, that remained monogamous throughout their lives. But DNA testing has shown that even the animals that look like models of fidelity are getting out at night for a little extra on the side. And according to a report filed by Today's Natalie Morales, the list of officially monogamous creatures is down to one. That freshwater flatworm that physically, that's funny, attaches itself to the mate, to a mate for life. Men will look for women who look like they're young and fecund. And women look for men who look like they're good providers, which is why rich, powerful men do well. Even in human societies, Americans are relatively unique in their expectation of lifelong fidelity, says University of Texas and author David Buff. I just read an article about him. Remember, we were talking about him in LifeScript. He must be very popular with this. Historically, most cultures are polygamous. I can't say that word. Polygynous. I can't say the word. I'm sorry, you guys. Meaning men are legally entitled to take multiple wives, and So mating with many women is very common across cultures and perfectly acceptable in many cultures. Our culture is somewhat unique in that we have presumptive monogamy or legal monogamy when men are only supposed to have one woman. Vieira wondered whether we haven't evolved beyond our biological impulses, and both men agreed that humans do have the ability to override their genetic and biological programming, and studies show most people do, with 65% of men and 75% of women claiming that they have never cheated on their spouses. If you look at marriages, in fact, more than half of them, in America anyway, do remain monogamous. I think it's important to keep in mind that although we do have these biological impulses to stray, we also have the inhibitions against straying. For example, reputational damage. When people are caught, get caught straying, they incur reputational damage, and we are very concerned about our social reputation. The conflict between desire and morality was famously defined by former President Jimmy Carter, who told Playboy that he felt lust in his heart and was roundly criticized for admitting it, even that. But Carter was making an important point. It's a reflection of reality, he said. I think it's almost important to keep in mind that both men and women experience lust in their hearts. They feel attractions to others. Both scientists agree that while women do cheat, men are more likely to. There are two reasons for that. First of all, men simply can breed more. Men biologically can conceive a child every day if they wanted to. So we're tripped wired for that kind of thinking. Above the rules, the way society is structured also adds to a male's incentive to cheat. We still live in a patriarchal society, which means men are more commonly in positions of power. Positions of power tend to validate the belief that you're above the rules. You and I don't get a motorcade when we go places. We don't get a flying wedge on the sidewalk. So if you're entitled to the sidewalk and you're entitled to the street, why aren't you entitled to that beautiful woman on your communication staff? Buss said that although the urge to cheat is universal, people with certain personality traits are more likely to stray than others. Our studies find two in particular, says Buss, in addressing those traits. One is impulsively or lack of conscientiousness, but the most important personality characteristic is narcissism. Men who are high on the narcissism personality characteristics are more likely to cheat than men who are lower. They put their own needs and their own urges before those of their families. Both agreed that biology made me do it isn't an excuse for infidelity. We have to be realistic about our human nature. We have these impulses to stray, says Buff, but we also have inhibitions against straying and the ability to choose whether or not we do. Very interesting. And that's, are we truly wired to cheat on our mate? And that's so amazing that there's only one species of flatworms that don't cheat. They stay with that mate, which is a freshwater fish, until that fish dies. Amazing. That's scary, too. Now, that will come in closing of our show today. No one called me. I've been trying to get people to call me and talk to me, whoever listens to my show. I'm steady working on getting some guests. I like talking to you one-on-one, really. And it might be more interesting to have a guest on. But I like talking to you guys one-on-one. No one calls me in, but that's fine. Eventually you will, I guess. Who's listening? You know you can catch me. And if you do have a chance to listen to my show afterwards, You know to go to my website. I have my emails. Sensible64@yahoo.com, icolor.com/forward/ Arzanda Cherry, Facebook, Felita McCall, chocolatebun59@hotmail is the email address you can catch me at. I'm on Twitter, Felita McCall, Blog Talk, as you see, /chocolatelady64, email me. I haven't set up chatting yet because I'm still learning that part. But I really enjoy doing this show, and I'm hoping more people will listen. What I'm going to start doing is getting out more invitations so that people can take time out to listen. I know you hear me do a lot of reading on here, because sometimes people don't have time to read, so I don't mind reading and getting out information. My next segment is going to be September 3rd, because I'll be out of town. I'm going to Nashville at the end of the month, so I won't be here for next Thursday. I will be here next Thursday. I won't be here at the end of the month. So my next show will be August the 20th, which is Thursday at the same time, 8 to 9 p.m., and we will talk about cheating again, and I will be happy if you guys email me, give me some comments, give me some feedback on my shows. I'm trying to find me a more quieter place to do my show. If I'm not, interrupted by my dog, there's always something going on where it interrupts my show, and it really breaks my concentration. So I'm trying to work on getting a better place to do my show, or getting my room soundproofed, my office soundproofed, so that I won't have that much of an interruption. So I just encourage you to continue to listen to my show. Email me, let me know what you think, give me some feedback, and you can write down my number for our next segment. Our number to call in on is 347-677-1749. Please take time out, listen to my show, and send me an email. Thank you. Good night. And